Amen. Good morning, everyone. Now I can come up. It's good to see everyone. I pray and I hope that everyone is doing well and that you all had a great week. You know, obviously, you know, I mean, the week is a long week, you know, and us worshiping God, you know, is not obviously not just on a Sunday morning, right? You know, we once, some of us once lived that kind of life where, you know, we went to church and we clocked in and clocked out. But as disciples, we learn that following God is a 24-hour thing. Amen. Every second thing. So right now, it's just a very, very small part of our worship. Amen. You know, so this morning, you know, I want to talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In Scripture, it doesn't say the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Okay? But we know that the fruits of the Holy Spirit and all the aspects of it can only be from the Holy Spirit. So we know that the Scripture is talking about, you know, this is what comes from God. Okay, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There is 9 of them. Okay, and you may wonder, wow, 9 of them. How does God want me to focus on 9 things all at the same time? You know, how does he want me to focus on 9 things all at the same time? You know, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, this is something that comes from God. You know, and not from us. So I just want to establish that right away. It is not something that comes from us. And you know what? All the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, Galatians 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, so in the world, okay? In the world does have a certain aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. They do. You know, I remember when I was, you know, a part of the world some 32 years ago, you know, I do remember having some form of, as what Peter would say, godliness. You know, but obviously, I denied God's power, right? That's, you know, that's what the scriptures say. You know, the world, they have a form of godliness, but they deny God's power. And I had a form of it, you know, and I was known to be a person who, I love to smile. You guys might know that. I love to smile. I think a smile is good. It's pleasant. You know, but, you know, if you don't have a smile, it's grumpy, you know? It doesn't, it's grumpy. It's not good. So I was always known as a person who smiled. I was always known as a happy person. You know, in the world. I remember people say, man, you know, you're awesome. You're this and you're that. You know, and then next minute, you know, I was getting upset at somebody. You know, so I had a form of it, you know. So I'm not saying that the world, okay, doesn't have some of it, okay. But when we become Christians, we're here as the world, but it goes to another level. Yes. You know, this is, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is something that is awesome to be able to have in our lives. So it starts off with love. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave that till the end. I'm going to leave love till the end. Tony taught a message about love some time ago, maybe a month ago. He talked about love, and I'm not sure if you guys remember much. Okay, sometimes in a message, you know, we take away one or two things from it, you know, and we don't remember everything that was said. But I'm sure you guys will remember what he was talking about love, and one of his favorite songs was a song by Foreigner, you know, and he was talking about, you know, I want to know what love is. You know, that's actually my wife's favorite song. Yes, that is her favorite song. I want to know what love is. When you were younger, not anymore. So she wanted to find, yeah, what love were you looking for back then? Maybe it was me. I want to know what love is. And then her mom would say, what are you always listening to that song? You know, and she goes, yes, I want to know what love is, not really knowing that she was making a prophecy. Maybe a couple years later, she finding the true love of her life, which is Jesus. You know, and then she find the second love of her life, which is me. But I want to know what love is. You know, very, very powerful song. So I'm going to leave that till the end, okay? So love for, you know, because Tony touched on it before. I don't want to spend too much time on it. But I want to start off, okay, guys, with joy. So what is joy? You know, I used to think that joy was happiness. That's what I used to think. I used to think that it was happiness. But joy is the inner attitude of us rejoicing in one's salvation regardless of our outward circumstance. That is true joy. True joy comes from knowing that Jesus has paid the price for our sins. Okay, obviously we can get joy from a lot of things. But as Christians, this is where we need to get our joy from. Okay, you know, whenever we're happy, it goes and comes, you know? It goes and comes. But joy is always there. It's consistent. Okay, so we can now trust in the finished work of Christ that he accomplished on the cross. And we can trust in the fact that from this time on, that we can trust in Christ, that his blood continuously covers us. You know, this is where we get joy from. And there is absolutely nothing, no good works that we can do for God to earn our salvation. Nothing that we can do. You know, but this is a gift that God has given to us. There is nothing to separate us from the love of Christ. So we rejoice in the finished work of Christ done on the cross for us. So this is where we get our joy, the fruit of the Spirit joy, biblical joy. We can rejoice in knowing that we are heaven bound. As I said, you know, there's a scripture. I was hoping that I wouldn't have to use my phone. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Let's see what it says about joy. All it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. I will say it again, rejoice. Okay? So you have to ask yourself the question, do I have joy in my life? Okay? Do I have joy? You know, what is it that's coming from the inside? What is it that is giving you that joy? Is it things that may be happenstance? You know, or does it really come from your salvation? You know, does it come from knowing that, man, you know, that, wow, if I should pass away today, that I would be with the Lord? You know, I don't necessarily want to pass away today, but but it gives me great joy to know that I'm going to be with the Lord. And this is where I get my joy from. And the Bible said that that is the first fruit of the Spirit. Actually, no. Second, joy. Okay, so we need to have joy. And, you know, we can't have joy if we are walking around. I'm not sure if you guys remember this cartoon, but there was a cartoon back in the 1980s, and his name was Droopy. Droopy. I'm not sure if you guys ever heard of it, the cartoon character. You remember Droopy? Yes, Droopy. Man. Droopy could be in the most exciting of places. And there could be a party going on. And Droopy is just, I am so excited. I am so grateful to be here. Wow, this is awesome. There's a reason why they call him Droopy. He was always droopy, you know, but there was no joy. You know, there was no joy. He didn't show it. There was no smile. There was no outward, you know. Believe me, I make it an ambition to continuously be joyful. I make that my ambition because this is one of the fruit of the Spirit. This is what it produces. You know, and fruit, whenever you see the word fruit, okay, it has to do with work. So that's what it actually means. This is what it produces in your life. So it has to do with the works of it. Okay? So whenever we have the fruit of the Spirit, we have joy. And I prayed that this morning that we have joy. Okay? And if we don't have joy, we need to get that joy. Okay? It is really, really available to us to have that joy that surpasses all understanding. Okay? And the next one, okay, is peace. You know how we like to talk about peace. You know, in the old days, I used to go around, you know, in my teenage years, and I don't mean to offend anyone, you know, but we used to go around saying, hey, peace, you know, peace. And then there was a slang that we came up with, hey, peace in the Middle East, you know, and all these different stuff. It just sounded cool, you know, and people are saying peace, peace, when there is really no peace at all. That's what the scriptures, you know, claim. So what is peace? So peace is the calm, the quiet, and order that takes place in the soul. Calm and quiet order that takes place in the soul. And this can only take place in the person who has been justified by God. As I said before, you know, the world have a form of peace. But our peace, we had the same peace before. But when we became Christians, our peace just went up. It's maximized. Okay? So the assurance of our forgiveness also brings peace and satisfaction to our soul. I remember, guys, when I gave my life to Jesus. I remember. You know, I studied the Bible, and after about 2 weeks, I became a Christian. And I remember the person that was studying the Bible with me asked me, I think it was a Thursday, and he said to me, so when would you like to get baptized? It was a Thursday, and I said, Monday. And I said, Monday. And then he looks at me and he goes, okay, Monday. And then he goes, what are you waiting for? Why Monday? Why not tomorrow? You know? But in the back of my mind, you know, I was planning on doing some more sin before I got saved. That's exactly what was going on in my mind. I was planning on doing some more sin before I got saved. Okay? And then I remember him saying to me, what are you waiting for? And then I said, yeah, what is it are you waiting for? I didn't confess to him what I was thinking, but I said, yeah, what is it that I'm waiting for? And I remember, I said, okay, let's do this. Let's do the baptism on a Friday. Let's do it tomorrow. And I remember getting baptized. And I remember, guys, man, when I came up out of that water, that was the first thing that overcame me. Peace. Amen. I had the best night's sleep ever. Amen. That was the best sleep that I've ever had in my whole life. Because I just felt like, man, it is all off of me. All the bad things that I've done, things that I regretted, all the things that came out of my mouth that I regretted, everything was all washed away. I felt the most peace ever. It was an amazing day. It was amazing. I did not follow through, okay, with the planning on sinning. I did not follow through. But I do remember, though, you know, I was a little bit of a foul mouth. And I remember one day running for the bus. And then the bus driver looks at me, takes off. And man, the words that came out of my mouth, I was so upset. And the words that came out of my mouth, and immediately the words came out of my mouth, it was a bad language. My hand just went like this. right up to my mouth. And then I said, Lord, never again will I ever utter those words. Amen. And I never uttered those words. Those words never came out of my mouth. Because I had peace. Amen. You know, the world knows the negative side of peace, which is the absence of trouble. Whenever there's absence of trouble, they say, you know, we have peace, you know, because there's no trouble going on. But biblical peace does not focus on the absence of trouble. It is the goodness of life that is not touched by what happens in our life. We can be going through great trials and still have biblical peace. You know, Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, verse 1, when they were arrested, they had peace. Man, they were singing in jail. Can you imagine that? Singing in jail. I don't know if I'd be singing, but maybe jail was a little bit different back then. I don't think so, eh? But jail is quite scary. I wouldn't want to go there. You know, but this kind of peace cannot be affected by trouble, danger, or sorrow. And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, here's what it says. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. So we are called not to be anxious about anything. You know, we need to have that biblical peace. We are instructed to pray and petition God with thanksgiving. Whatever circumstances that we're in, we need to give thanks. It's amazing, giving thanks. You know, I remember I was, you know, going through a lot of things, you know, and I was praying, and I didn't know what to pray for because my mind was all over the place. And the Spirit just told me, just give thanks. Just give thanks for everything. And man, when I did that, I was like, wow, I have a lot to be grateful for, you know? So this is the clause of us having a peace that transcends all understanding. You see, God's peace is promised to guard those of us who pray with thanksgiving about everything. It will guard us. The peace that gives us will transcend and go beyond our understanding. And even if we cannot understand it, thanksgiving will guard our hearts and our minds. Okay, so this is how we have biblical peace. Again, the world have a form of it, but the peace that God gives us, it's almost like, you know what? It's not that we don't feel, guys. And we do feel, we do go through things, but it does not affect you because your eyes Amen. Are on Christ. Amen. Your eyes are on are on Jesus Christ, our Lord. The next one, patience. Patience. Now this one, what is patience? So patience, when you put it another way, it really means long suffering. Long suffering, man. I can think about things that I've been long suffering about. You know, but long suffering is a part of God's character. We see that He suffers along with us. He really does. He feels. You know that even in the book of Genesis, the Bible said it grieved God, and He was sorry. Oh, could you imagine that? Wow. The Almighty God, the God who made the universe and everything that we see and make our bodies, it grieved Him. He was so hurt that we turned away. But yet He always comes up with a plan to bring us back to Him. Amen. Amazing. God really does suffer with us. You know, an example of long-suffering is someone's life, is someone's life is a person who doesn't give up in dismay, confusion, and discouragement in difficult times. Okay, that is long-suffering. And oftentimes we, you know, we're like that. I know for me, you know, most of the time it's always about finances that I start to, oh my gosh, you know, oh my goodness, you know. I don't like people calling me and telling me that you need to pay this bill. I don't like that. I don't like people texting me and say, oh, you know, if you don't pay this parking ticket or whatever, you know, we're going to take away your license, you know. And then it's amazing how we didn't have the money before, but as soon as they say we're going to take away your license, oh, let's pay this. It's amazing how it works, eh? But yeah, it's amazing what really gets us, you know, different things gets us. You know, but we patiently endure without complaint. We need to endure without complaint, using God who is invisible in the midst of our trial. The word suffering simply means to bar. Just like those prison bars. It simply means to bar, to keep ourselves from following sin and self. When we bar ourselves from following what we want, these are the things we feel and desire, and we do what Jesus asks us to do, we often do suffer from it. It is often very difficult to say no to self and yes to God, very often. And very difficult to put another person's interests and needs above our own. Long-suffering is God's way of unselfing us. Okay? That is God's way of unselfing us. I'm not sure if you guys know what I mean by that, unselfing. There's a lot of things that we learn in life, bad habits. And then when we become Christians, God says, okay, you got to get rid of it. Got to get rid of it. So God is always in the process of making us more and more perfect, more and more into the likeness of Christ. So he's unselfing the old man out of us. But oftentimes, wow, it is very, very difficult. Because, man, some of the habits that we pick up in life, wow. Are they ever hard to give up? Because it's become a habit. So we really have a hard time sometimes. You know, so we go through suffering to unlearn all that we have learned from the flesh. And this is what we battle at times in our lives. So we relearn everything all over again by the Spirit. This is what the Spirit does. We have to relearn it again. During the time of unlearning and the Spirit teaching, this is what is referred to as long suffering. So we're unlearning it. And the Spirit is teaching us. And sometimes we go back into that habit again. It's almost like sometimes we're being wrung out. You know, wrung out. And, you know, and oftentimes we do end up, you know, going through suffering. And then, you know, and sometimes we sometimes want to give up because we're not understanding that God is in the process of us, you know, becoming more and more into the likeness of Christ. You know, so you have to ask yourself, you know, are you a patient person? You know, are we quick to react to situations? You know, do we get angry? You know, do we have wrath and indignation inside of us? You know, so this is what God is trying to produce, long suffering. You know, God goes through it with us. And he expects us to also go through it even with each other. Amen. Okay, long suffering, patience. Did I lose my scripture? All right, so Hebrews. Let's see what Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says. It says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Amen. Amazing. We do not want you to become lazy. And oftentimes what happens? We're not willing. We're just lazy-minded. We're just like, short-tempered, and we're just like, I can't be bothered. You know, but all those men in the past, when you think about them, you know, you think about Moses, Elijah, man, did those guys ever go through some stuff? But it says here that they inherited what was promised because of their faith and their patience. They had awesome patience. And it's the same thing that we go through, guys. We go through stuff, but we need to be patient. You know, and we have to wonder, you know what I mean? Why all of this? Why all of this? Why does God allow us to go through all these trials and all these temptations? Why does he allow us to go through that? Does he love me? Does he realize how hard it is? And believe me, he loves you, and he realizes how hard it is. But I believe, guys, that there is something that humanity has missed from ages past. Because, often, you know, we pick up the Bible, you know, we read it, but we don't really understand, why? Why all this? Why all this? You know, I to tell you the truth, I personally did not ask to be born. None of us. I did not ask to be born into this world. But I was born regardless. You know, my two parents were married. Some of us were born out of wedlock or whatever that means, but we were born. And we just came into this world. And we came into this world and we observed it. We looked around and all we saw, it was chaos. We saw people lying to each other. We saw people robbing, murder. We heard murders and all these things. And we're trying to make sense of it all. You know what I mean? But from the very beginning, guys, God has equipped us. He really has equipped us. And the Lord wants every one of us to know. This is why he gave us his Spirit. Amen. To equip us to be able to overcome the evil one. Okay? I mean, we were put here, actually, to overcome the devil. Amen. The Bible says that sin has no dominion over us. No dominion anymore. Because God has saved us and he's brought us to himself. And he has put the Holy Spirit in each and every single one of us. So sin has no more dominion over us. Okay, so God, he knows that we can do it. Okay? He knows that we can be victorious. He knows that. But we just need to realize that and understand that. You know, that he, you know, that it's a true thing. You know, we did not ask to be born, but we're here. You know, and there is a fierce battle going on, okay? I'm not sure if you guys realize that or if you guys see that. It's fierce. What other word could I use? Warfare. Sorry, it's a spiritual warfare. But in Jamaica, we would say, it dread. Yeah, it's dread. It's dread. It's fierce. It's a fierce battle that is going on. You know, we don't see all that is happening in the heavenly realm. We read about it in Scripture, and we know that it's happening, and we see it play out in real time. You know what I mean? But we are in a war, okay? So all this that, you know, that God has given us about the fruit of the Spirit, this equips us to be able to live this life and to be able to overcome Satan so that he has no dominion over us. Really, he cannot touch us whenever we put these things into practice. And it's not just about putting them into practice, okay? It's allowing God to work. You know, when the Scripture says, if you go on in Galatians, it says, so I say, live by the Spirit. Keep in step. Amazing, eh? Keep in step. So the Spirit, there's a... Again, guys, I often like to go to songs. I'm a music lover. Okay, but there's a song that by Ludacris. The only words I know from it. I have no idea what he says other than that, but I just love when he says, "When I move, you move," just like that. That's what he says. "When I move, you move," just like that. And the Spirit, that's what it means. Keep in step with the Spirit. When the Spirit says move, you move. I'm not talking about doing some dance moves, okay? Even though I you know, want it, you know, but it's not talking about that, but we move. If the Spirit tells you to be quiet and listen, be quiet and listen. Just like that. Okay, but we need to keep in step with the Spirit. And believe me, when we keep in step with the Spirit, our lives are transformed. You know, I also make it my goal, okay, not to offend anyone. And I don't mean, you know, obviously, you know, the Word of God is, it will offend people, you know. It will. I shared my faith with people and people are offended. I'm just like, hey, man, I'm just sharing the Word with you. I remember one time going to, when the kids were young and we went swimming, and I shared my faith with a gentleman. I was talking with him and we were talking and then I shared my faith with him. And then the guy looks at me and he goes, I thought you were cool, man. He goes, and you come to me with that? That's what he said. And you come to me with that? And you see, he thought I was cool. At first, I was cool because I didn't say anything about God. I didn't say anything about Christ. But as soon as I brought God into it and gave him an invite, he was just like, what is this, man? I thought you were cool. He goes, why would you ruin a friendship? Like, why would you ruin it? Yeah, that's what he said. And I simply said, hey, man, just it's a yes or a no. And I told him, me sharing my faith with you, it's a yes or it's a no. You know, and then he looked at me and goes, yeah, you're right. It is a yes or it is a yes or it is a no. And then so we both continued to talk. Then he realized that I there was nothing wrong that I did. It was just that he got offended by the name of Jesus. He got offended. So, wow. As Christians, we go through quite a bit. We do go through quite a bit. So the next one is kindness. Are you a kind person? Or are you mean-spirited? So kindness is characterized by benevolence and tenderness, charitable deeds. But these deeds are not to be done to impress people. Okay? If it is, Jesus says you got no reward. So it's a person who is disposed to help others and does it with sympathy and consideration. You know, we need to always make it our goal to look for opportunities to be kind and act on it quickly before the opportunity is gone. How many times have that happened? You have the opportunity, but you sat on it, and next minute you know, that need was already met. Or the need didn't get met. You know, perhaps somebody asked you for some change, and you know, at first you're like, I'm not gonna give it to you because I don't know what you're gonna do with it. And then you walk away, and then the Spirit hits you and says, you should have given. And then you turn back and then the person's gone. That has actually happened to me before. I couldn't believe how quickly this person disappeared. But in that instance, I gave. Yeah, I remember it was $20 I gave. And then as soon as I turned around, person disappeared. And I'm just like, wow. Perhaps I was where did that person go? I had no idea. You know, but we need to make sure that we act on it before the opportunity is gone. So the word kind, when it's translated from the Greek, it means actually useful. Useful. To be useful to people. So biblical kindness involves action. It must be shown especially in the area of our time that we give up towards helping people. Words are also very necessary to show kindness. We would agree with that, right? Kind words. We encourage with comforting words, showing courtesy, and give people compliments. Wow, that's not something that I used to be good at, giving people compliments. Even when we correct or are corrected, can be shown as kindness. So we also need to be aware of the sensitivities of others and know what to say and what not to say. And as what I said before, keeping in step with the Spirit, when the Spirit says, you move, you move. So kindness expresses itself in great deeds. In let's go to James chapter 2, verse 15, and see what it says there. Go. James chapter 2, verses 15. It says here that suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? And this is a huge one, because guys, I can't tell you how many times in the past where that has happened. In my own personal life, you know, where I had the opportunity to meet a need and I sat on it and then I forgot about it and nothing happened. You know, I believe that as a church that we're really improving on this one. We are. We're improving on it. We're learning how to love one another properly. We're learning how to take care of one another. Believe me, I mean, last year when my mom passed away and I had to go to Jamaica twice in 1 year. And you guys know how expensive it is to travel. And believe me, whenever you travel to a place like Jamaica or the Philippines, no. No, Jamaica and the Philippines, I went to send money to Jamaica, Western Union. And then as soon as I went there, the person looked at me and goes, oh, you're Jamaican, aren't you? And then I says, yeah. And I says, why did you say that? And then he said, because most people that come here are either Jamaicans or Philippines that sent back the most money to their country. It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. That's what the person said. He just guessed that I was a Jamaican. It was quite funny. You know, but it says, faith without deeds is dead. You know, and as I was saying before, we've grown a lot in helping to be able to take care of each other. And this is something that we need to do more and more. I think about the church in the first century. Man, these guys, they sold land. They sold homes. And they gave to anyone that had need. And I let me get back to the story about me going to Jamaica. So when my mom passed away or she was sick, man, we were broke. We didn't have money to go back to Jamaica. And believe me, in Jamaica, those guys back there, they have no sympathy because they literally think that money grows on trees here. They really do. They think that you can just pick it. You know, but you know, if I was back there too, I'd probably think the same thing. You know, because that's what you're told, right? You know, and you can make money and stuff like that. And believe me, I had no idea how I was going to get to Jamaica. And it was a little bit shameful for me because, you know, I had to deal with my brother. I had to deal with my sister. What do you mean? You know, you can't send money to do this. I was like, wow. It was a very, very stressful time. You know, when you don't have it, you just don't have it, right? You know, but believe me, I mean, you guys, I mean, wow. The benevolence that came from the brothers and the sisters, I was blown away. My wife literally started to cry. Yeah. Amen. She started to cry because people gave and we were able to fulfill all of our obligations. And if you know, man, a funeral back home is not a one-day thing. Okay? It is like 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. And we're just like, really? Yeah, but it's something else. You know, it's something else. But yeah, I mean, I am so grateful to all of you guys. Very, very grateful. And this is the way that we need to continue to meet each other's needs. Okay? Man, this is commendable before God. This is what the Father loves, is when we take care of each other, whatever circumstances. Somebody doesn't have food, they need to be eating. Absolutely. I mean, I want to go to Mexico next year. I don't have them. I'm just kidding. You know, but absolutely, you know what I mean? Somebody does not have food, they need to be eating. We need to be aware of each other's needs. We need to show kindness. We need to show compassion, you know, towards each other. Amen. The next one is goodness. Goodness. What is goodness? You know, in Genesis chapter 1, you know, we see, you know, when we observe the story, and every time that God created something, at the end of it, he said what? It is good. It is good. And at the end of every day of his creation, God looked back at his creation. He observed the creation to see whether or not it did what it was created to do. Meaning, its intent was to benefit. Okay, to benefit mankind. Then it was called good. You see, God has left us an example of goodness. That goodness needs to be for the intent of benefiting other people. The only time in God's perfect creation that he says something was not good was in Genesis chapter 2. And you guys know what that is. When he says, it is not good for a man to be alone. Praise the Lord. Yeah, but it was not good for the man to be alone. And so God provided a helper that was suitable, you know, for Adam. So God made makes a perfect man, but his situation is incomplete, so that he can experience firsthand the goodness of God. And that is exactly what happened. And I believe that's why Adam says, whoa, man. Just a joke, guys. That's why she was called woman. Whoa, man. You see, for God's creation to be perfect, Adam had to be complete. And he needed a helper, a mate suitable for him. So God shows Adam kindness by meeting his needs of another human companion. So for man, goodness comes from the act of kindness. It starts with kindness first. You see, goodness is the end result of kindness. It is what it produces. When we practice kindness, we need to look back and observe and to see the good results that came out of that act of kindness. We need to try that. You know, think about it. As what I was saying before, if somebody doesn't have food or some need is not met, and then you meet that need, and then you sit down and you just, wow, because of this blessing, they're eating. You know, I'm always challenged sometimes when there are, you know, certain relatives that call me from back home, and you know what they want. You know, they want help. You know, and when you're able to help, man, what a blessing that is. To know that, wow, this is going to go to, somebody's going to eat because of this. You know, I think about when you bless your children And we do bless our kids, you know? We bless them. We want to see them more successful than us. That's just what parents do. You know, so we bless them. And when they flourish, you know, sometimes I'll be at home and the kids, they're downstairs and they're talking. And they're talking about certain things and goals and, you know, what they want to do in life and certain things. And sometimes they'll even be arguing, you know? And I don't get into it all. I do not get into it all. And sometimes they're downstairs, and then I'm in my room, and then I'll come out and it goes, what is going on? Why are they being so loud and, you know, talking so loud and this, that? And I'm just on the stairs, I'm like this, and I'm just looking down and I'm listening, and I'm like, wow, what a blessing. You know, what a blessing. You know, it's so cool, you know, to see, you know, when we have goodness in our lives. But we need to imitate God. We need to do what is good. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, let's go there. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Okay, so Jesus, he went around doing good. Everywhere he went, he did good. Whatever it was good, he did it. Whatever it was. You know, people, you know, they were healed. You know, the man, you know, born blind, was able to see. Came to find Jesus. You know, and Jesus was able to see, wow, you're healed now. And then he goes, okay, now you need to live a righteous life. You know? And, yeah, so goodness, again, guys, comes from, you know, this is what it produces. You know, us, we need to do whatever is good. Whatever is good, whatever is called good, whatever is admirable, whatever is noble, we need to think about such things. Amen? The other one, faithfulness. What is faithfulness? So faithfulness, the promise of God would be of no value without the faithfulness of God. Think about how faithful God is. Okay? The Bible says that it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible. You know, God is faithful. You know, every word, guys, every word that comes out of the mouth of the living God, every one of them, the Bible says that I watch over my word to make sure that it is fulfilled. He watches over it. So God is faithful. You know, and we need to be faithful. He is faithful and come through with all that he says that he will do. We would be of no value to God and to our families and to society without faithfulness. We can agree with that. Without faithfulness, we have to be faithful. When we go to our jobs, if we're not faithful to accomplish the task, guess what happens? Yeah, we sometimes we lose our job. But, you know, a lot of times we do get disciplined and we shape up and we start doing what we need to do. So the person who is faithful is one who can be counted on to carry out his or her responsibilities and promises to the best of his or her abilities to be faithful no matter what. No matter how bad the situation is, our faithfulness is not based on our own personal faith. Okay, again, our faithfulness is not based on our own personal faith, but is based on the object of our faith. And who is the object of our faith? Amen. Jesus Christ, God the Father, that is the object of our faith. See, our faith in Christ is what saves us.
It is what justifies us. Our own beliefs does nothing, but it is who we believe and look to and have faith in. We are to follow in Christ's examples and imitate and rely on his faithfulness. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, Amen. Whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. So Jesus, he was commended as that he was faithful in all of God's house. Moses was commended as faithful in all of God's house. Abraham also was commended, you know, to be faithful. And it really is our faith, guys, that's going to save us. You know, so we have to ask ourselves, am I faithful or am I faithless? Because oftentimes, you know, I mean, as Christians, sometimes we can be very faithless. You know, and we're not faithful the way that we need to be. You know, but if you go back and even if you look at Abraham, you know, think about, you know, his faith. You know, Abraham goes to this place. I think it was Abimelech. He goes there and he was afraid. And so what? He gives Sarah his wife. It happened twice. He gives Sarah. So, you know, right there, you know what I mean? He was very faithless. Could you imagine? Here, take my wife. I'm afraid. Faithless. Another time was the king of Egypt. Same thing happened again. You know what I mean? Oh, they might kill me because you're so beautiful. You know, why don't you say that you're my sister? Here, take her. You know what I mean? Faithless. Hagar, same thing. Oh, God promised us a son. Perhaps it's through Hagar that this will be accomplished. So take her and sleep with her. And he goes, okay, sure, I'll do it. Faithless. But what is Abraham known for? He's amazing, isn't it? He is the father of faith. So it doesn't matter. Even if he was faithless in those situations, but because of his faith in God, he never let go of God. He never let go. So we can go through many things, guys, in our Christian walk. And sometimes we're faithless. But it is your faith that's going to save you. You remember that parable that Jesus told? What did he say? Man, I love this one. It ends off by saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into the inheritance that was prepared for you before the world began. Those are the words, my faithful servant. So we just need to be faithful in everything. Okay? Whenever, you know, we will have doubts about many things. We will be unsure about many things. But faithfulness, we need to hang on to faithfulness. We need to be faithful, you know, in spite of what we go through. Okay? And, you know, again, the Bible says that we are children of Abraham, you know, because Abraham was a father of faith and he passed on that faith right down to us. He's the example, you know, of faith. Okay? So faithfulness is one of those, you know, the fruits of the Spirit that, again, it's not something that we can muster up necessarily and say that, yes, I'm going to be faithful. We can say that, but we have to take the time to be able to just relax and to just say, Lord, I know that this is available for me, and I want this to be a strong point in my life. So I'm asking you to give this to me. And the Lord, he will give it to you. He will give you faithfulness. And believe me, your life will transform when you have faith. Okay? It will transform. And when you have faith, guys, trust me, many, many, many of your friends are going to come to the Lord when you have faith. You know, there's all these different aspects of faith, but going to this one side, many, many people are going to become disciples. There is not one of us here that is here without somebody having faith and being bold, because when we get the Holy Spirit, that is actually what it does to us. It makes us bold, 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 bold. And the Holy, we're going to have faith and we're going to help people, you know, to become disciples. You know, we can't be selfish with what we have. We can't keep it to ourselves. So we need to be faithful to God. We need to be faithful to one another. And we need to be faithful to the world around us. The world is really depending on us, guys. They are. They're depending on us for their salvation. Next one, gentleness. Okay, so gentleness is strength under control. And let's go to Matthew chapter 11. I did a message on this before. I'm going to take not going to spend too much time on this, but strength under control. So let's see what Jesus says here about gentleness. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Wow, what a beautiful scripture. Take my yoke upon you. I was studying the Bible with somebody yesterday, or maybe it was last week, I was explaining what a yoke is. Okay? And, you know, I used the example of the two oxen and the wood going around their necks and so forth. You know, that is a good example of a yoke. You know, when the farmer says, go this way, the oxen on that side have no choice but to go here. It's just amazing how it works. Okay? Same yoke. Are we yoked this morning with Jesus? And what did he say? He says, "I am gentle, gentle, gentle." Jesus never caused an offense. The word caused an offense, but when he was on trial, they couldn't find anything against him. No sin. Never caused an offense, but he was gentle. So we need to take on Jesus' yoke of him being gentle. You know, not being prideful. You know, pride has no place, brothers and sisters, in the life of a disciple. No place. Anger shouldn't take precedence in a Christian's life. It's amazing, eh? How the things that, when we first became Christians, we said, "Yeah, man." Oh, sorry. Jamaican coming out there. We'll say, "Yeah, I'm going to give this up. I'm going to give that up. I'm going to give this up. I'm going to give that up." And then a couple years down the road, we start to cozy up with, you know, with some of the things that we say that we're going to give up. It doesn't really make any sense, you know? It really doesn't make any sense. But again, this is a battle that we're in. And this is why, guys, we meet. This is why we come together, so that we can be encouraged. I know that this is just a little part, okay? A little part of our week. So I pray and I hope that all through the week that we're walking with God. Amen. You know, all through the week that we're close to God. And then when we come together, it's just an extension. It really is. But we spend more time at our job and at work than we do, you know, here or when we meet together. So we need to be, you know, take on Jesus' yoke and learn to be humble, not to be prideful, but to be humble. And then the next one, self-control. It's amazing, eh? Last one, self-control. Do we have self-control? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. What does it say here? It says, "For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid." Okay, in case you guys don't know what the word timid means, it means shy also. Does not make us timid or cowardly, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Okay, so self-discipline. Though we need to learn how to control ourselves. We need to learn how to control our emotions. And sometimes it is really our emotions that get the best of us. You know, we're feeling all these things and we're not quite sure what to do with it. You can imagine what kids go through, eh? You can imagine what they go through. They're battling the same things. Teenagers, oh my goodness. They're battling all that stuff. And yet, as adults, we battle the same things too. What are we going to do with those emotions? How are we going to react, you know, to people? You know, are we going to just come out and blast everybody, or are we going to practice self-control? Are we just going to look to God and say, you know what, Lord? And if we really listen, He will tell you, when I move, you move. Okay? And then when you do it right, the Lord will say, just like that. Just like that. Okay? So self-control again. Sometimes it's easier said than done. It's true. You know, easier said than done. But self-control is one of those things. I can't tell you how many households have been wrecked because of lack of self-control. Oh, my word. You know, fathers become alcoholics. Lack of self-control. You know? Anyways, I won't get into it, but we know what goes on in this world. We know. But, you know, we are called, guys, to something very different. You know, we are called to be people, you know, who keeps in step with the Spirit of God in our lives. Okay? When it comes to love, okay? And Tony talked about it before. But, you know, what I want to say about that is love. Say, for instance, 1 Corinthians 13:13, where it goes, love is patient, love is kind. Okay, so guys, love does no harm to its neighbor. No harm. Okay, love does not get upset at his wife or husband and lose it. It doesn't do that. It causes no offense. So all those things that you see in Corinthians about what it is, it does not envy. It does not boast. And then it says, it keeps no record of wrongs. Man, that's a tough one. Woo, that's a tough one. Keeps no record of wrongs. And then for us, we're like, but you remember 20 years ago? Oh yeah, we'll even go back even that far. I'm telling, even myself, you know, I had a cousin when I was younger that did not treat me very well. And even to this day, I'm just like, Wayne, you were kids, man. You know, just leave it behind, you know, don't keep any record of wrongs, you know, but love does no harm to its neighbor. So whenever you find yourself in any conundrum or anything of that sort, you just have to stop and say, wow, where is my love? Where is my love? if I show this attitude to this person, that is not loving. If I withhold this from this person that I know that I'm supposed to bless them with, that is not loving. You see, guys, love is a higher calling. Again, sounds like a song. I think there's a song that says, love is a, yeah, Break Me a Higher Love by Steve Winwood. Break me a higher love. Yeah. Yeah, but love, man, it's amazing. So now, when it comes to loving, you know, loving people, and then we switch it over towards loving God, what does that mean? What does that mean in loving God? And one example that I have, brothers and sisters, is I think back about Job. We all know Job. You know, one of the books in the Bible that we often get, we're not quite sure about. We're not quite sure about what's happening, what is up with all those long dialogues, you know, that the friends are having with him. You know, but we see where Job, you know, everything for Job was, I got to do this so that God can bless me. Yeah, you know, we will look at the book and we'll think, oh, you know, God made a deal with Satan to inflict Job, but no. You know, Job, you know, everything was, oh, you know, if I do this, God will bless me. Oh, my kids had a party, so I got to pray for them because perhaps they did this and I won't be blessed. Very, very deep book. Okay, so Job, the Baba did say that there is no one like him. Could you believe that? Even in his flaws, the Baba said that there's no one like him. God said there's no one like him. But we see, though, that Job, he actually never had a relationship with the Father. He never had a relationship with God. And he confessed at the end. He confessed. I'm not sure if he got sackcloth and ashes, I can't remember. And he just, when God confronted him, he's just like, oh my goodness. And then we know that you know, that he never had a relationship with God. He never walked with God. And then what did he say? He says, man, Lord, I heard about you before. I only heard. But now I see. He said, now my eyes are open and I see you now. I never saw you before, but I see you now. So everything about loving God is about having a relationship with God. You know, the Bible talks about Enoch. Enoch walked with God for how long? 300 years. Wow. Could you imagine that? I wouldn't want to live to see 300. Well, I do, but not in this body. In my glorified body, yes, but not in this body. You know, 300 years. It talked about Noah walking with God. You see, he had a relationship with God. He had a relationship. So that's what it means, guys, to love God. We need to have a relationship with him. So how are we doing in our relationship with God, in our walk with God? How are we doing in our meditation, in our quiet time? Sometimes our quiet times are a little bit too quiet. Okay, so I actually like to call it devotion. How are you doing in your devotion time with God? How is your prayer life with God? What do you do in your day whenever, you know, we're going through trials and temptations? What do we do? Do we stop and do we pray to God? Do we ask him for help in a certain situation? But guys, that is a relationship. I'm not saying that you don't have it, okay? I'm not saying that at all. If you do, praise the Lord, amen. God, that is the way that we need to be living our lives. Okay, but, you know, loving God is about having a relationship. Not that we know about him. And some of us, perhaps that's where we're at. We're young Christians, so we only know about God. But we need to come to the point where I see you. I see you now. That's what the Father wants. A loving relationship with him. So guys, this morning, I pray that, I know that you won't remember a lot of what I said, but I pray that we will take away something this morning and just remember the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that we have access to it. This is what it produces in our lives. Okay, it produces these things. And whenever we live and keep in step with the Spirit, believe me, man, we are so joyful. We are so peaceful. We're so self-controlled. This is the power that we have. The devil have no hold on us. No hold. He has no dominion over the Christian. You know, because we allow God's Spirit to move in our lives. You know, I think about Jesus perfectly. Perfectly. Jesus had the fruit of the Spirit in his life perfectly. He obeyed God perfectly. Every word that came from every, you know, God says, my servant, every word that I tell him to say, he will say it. And even though, you know, he got in trouble with a lot of what he said, but he obeyed God perfectly. And at his trial, there was nothing that they could convict him. Because there's nothing. This guy is like, whoa, I mean, there's nothing. Nothing. He was perfect. And he set us an example so that we should follow in his footsteps. Okay? We're all at different places in life. We are. We're all at different places in life. Different maturity levels. Okay? But God, you know, as what I said, he's called us to something higher. And I pray that this morning, as we remember Christ, remember that he did it perfectly and that he set the example for us so that we today can have that victory in Jesus. Amen? Amen. 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 Let us So at this time, we're going to take the communion and let us bow in prayer as we do that. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for this day. We thank you so much, Father, for this time that we can remember your Son. Father, it is all about you, Jesus. And I pray, you know, that we can honor you. We can honor you, Father, for all that you do in our lives and continue to do in our lives. And I pray that as we take the emblems that represent the body and the blood of your Son, I pray that we will take it in full gratitude. And that we will take it knowing, oh Lord, that you're well pleased with us communing together and with the decisions that we will make to bring glory and honor to your name. We give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.